Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Okay, so today we're going to focus on relationships among believers. We talked about relationships, romantic relationships, and relationships that we have with our significant other, but now we get to talk about relationships in the church. And aren't we excited about relationships in the church? Not always. Not always. And one thing we're going to do today, we're not going to be good old Southerners and just smile and say, yeah, praise the Lord, everything's good, because everything's not always good. And I think the more honest we are, the more we can grow and become the church that God has always designed us to be. All right, so if you know, we always do our Mentimeters here. Go ahead and log on to Mentimeter, www.menti.com, and answer the question. There's just a little icebreaker there. Hello, YouTube. For those who are watching virtually, thank you for being a part of this service. 879-25829. Very important question I want you to answer. Very important question. Wow. Nobody for Waffle House? Wow. Okay. Oh, IHOP? Okay. Well, IHOP is winning. Okay. Oh, we got one Waffle House. We got one Waffle House. Okay, then. Okay. IHOP is winning. Okay, IHOP, okay. Look like IHOP has it. IHOP is still going, okay. I want us to do a little exercise right here. If I could have your attention, please. I want us to do a little exercise right here. I have my good friend Ricardo Dunmooney and Daphne. They're here today with us. I love them. Ricardo, I want to have a conversation with you about which one you chose and why. And guess what? As Ricardo is having this conversation with me, I want everybody to have the conversation with me, okay? One, two, three, go. Why did you choose what you chose? Let's all talk at the same time. Go ahead. So, but why did you choose it? But what? I can't hear you. Ah. We can all sing at the same time, but can we all talk at the same time? Guess what we're going to talk about today? Good old communication. Good old communication. Preferences. We all have our preferences. There are five of you who love Waffle House. Not sure why, but five of you do. That is your choice. There are more of you who love IHOP. That is choice. Who's right? Who's wrong? It's about preference. And you know, a lot of times when you look at church and church issues, and I did a little research on this, there's a group of people who keep data about churches and what they go through. The gentleman's name is Rainer, and he put out there on Twitter, what are some of the silliest church arguments that you have heard of? A dispute in the church because the Lord's Supper had cran grape juice instead of grape juice. Cran grape juice instead. An argument on whether the church should allow deviled eggs at a church meal. An argument over whether they have gluten-free communion bread or not. Two different churches reported fights over the type of coffee. In one of the churches, they moved from Folgers to a stronger Starbucks brand. In the other church, they simply moved to a stronger blend. Members left the church. Members left. Oh, okay, Samantha. Oops. You know, we look at these examples and we're like, wow, what is going on with people? But I want us to, although we see this and we laugh, I want us to understand that people are losing their souls over food. Coffee and all, and it's, and some people are arguing about who moved the vacuum cleaner. They were arguing about who moved the vacuum cleaner. But that stuff is real. And there are some things that we need to talk about today in our communication as a church. So, I believe that God designed the church and God wants the church and God has a plan for church. We are all part of the body of Christ. Everyone who wants to have a relationship with God is part of the body of Christ. What we have to wrestle with is where we fit into the body. And what's really deep, before Jesus left, he gave some commandments. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And do what? Love who? As yourself. And then he gave the Great Commission. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what? Everything, which includes loving your neighbor as yourself. Why would Jesus have to command us to love our neighbor? Don't we naturally love one another? In that era, in that time period, life was not valued. People were not valued. Children were not valued. Women were not valued. The only people who were valued were the extremely rich. That's it. Those are the only ones who counted. Kings and the royalty and the priests. But the everyday person was not valued. So when Jesus came along, he said, how we're going to make a difference in this dark Roman world? We're going to love everybody. That's the standard. We're going to love everybody, and we're going to go out, and we're going to keep helping people to get to know God and to come into this church and to keep going, and we're going to teach them to love everybody. But there's some non-Jewish people coming. Yeah, they're going to be loved too. But the Jews and Greeks hated each other, but we're going to teach them to love. And guess what? If you learn to love everybody and the church keeps growing, then I am with you. Jesus says he is with us when we're doing what he asked us to do. We live in an era where everybody tend to want a relationship with God, but people want to do it without the church. Jesus is ahead. People say, I love Jesus, but I ain't going back to that church. I got nothing to do. Listen. You don't see a head with fingers attached to it. You don't see a head with feet attached to it. That's a weird looking monster. You see the full body. We fit into this body. And what's really deep about this? There's no plan B. The church was God's only plan. Now people say, man made the church. No. The church is a creation of Jesus. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build a nice little group of people to come together if they want to and leave when they want to. No, so I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And what Jesus said? The church will never die. What Jesus started 2,000 years ago will never die. Now, we get the chills whether we'll be a part of it, but the Lord's church will never die. And guess what? When you get to the book of Revelation, at the end of time, guess what Jesus is coming back for? The church. He's coming back for the church. The church, the bride of Christ, the bride. Well, that's what Jesus is all about. His people. Brothers, can you be friends with that guy who goes in on your bride? Can you be friends with that guy who's always talking about your bride? Married guys. Do you have them dudes in your life who are going in, oh, she looks like this and she ain't like that? Keegan, I got all these things I have to tell you. She ain't this and she ain't that. Oh, I guess married guys, are y'all cool with that? You can't do that about my bride. Can't do that. Nope, can't do that. Got to respect her. Hey. But what do we say about the church that Jesus died for? Jesus says, she may have a little personality issues. Her methodology may be a little off. Sometimes she's selfish. Sometimes she's struggling. Sometimes she may eat too much. Christina. When you look at the church, God knew the church would have flaws. God knew the church would have problems. And that's why the Bible says, you know, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. You know, no matter what the church goes through, thank you, Avis, for singing that song. He still loves me. He still loves me. I'm stubborn at heart, quick to put up a guard. I do it all by myself. I won't ask for help. And sometimes my mouth is smart. I could be insecure, counting other people's blessings and never stop to notice what I got. Some days are better than others. I can be up and I'm down. But he still loves me. Now, no, I'll say that for next Sunday. Now, the question is, do we feel that way about one another? Do we feel that way? I still love you. In spite of it all. Because we can easily make it about God, but what about one another? So let's talk about the challenges as we try to be God's people. In the midst of 1993 Los Angeles race riots, which led to 53 deaths, 2,383 injuries, and nearly $1 billion in financial losses, Rodney King famously implored, "Why can't we all just get along?" Title of my message today, "Can't We All Get Along?" Can we all just get along? Is it possible for us to get along? Yes! And the Bible gives us the way to get it done. Now, in the world, good luck in the world. I don't know. It's tough out there. Listen, conflict is real. Conflict is crazy. And you know, conflict is what people go through. And the Holy Spirit revealed in the book of Acts that our early brothers and sisters face relationship challenges. They face conflict. If you're not familiar with the Bible, spend some time reading the Bible. It's all in there. All the intrigue. I mean, that people were killing each other. There was sex. There was adultery. There was craziness. And there was church conflict. And for some reason, God does not hide it. And for some reason, we as people, once we get into the church, we think we got to paint this perfect picture to the unbeliever so they can come on in and realize we're not perfect. Like, what is that? I've had people say, "Do you believe what happened in the church?" I'm like, "Yeah, have you read the Bible? It's in there." "Oh, I can't believe church people act this way." Read the Bible. Have you not read Corinthians? It's all in there. God does not hide it from us. But you know, there aren't many sermons on the difficulty of interpersonal relationships. On Sunday mornings, my job as a preacher is to convince you that this is the best thing going on. Come on, get right so you can make it to heaven. Join. We want you to be a part. The world is lost. Today, I'm going to say, the world is lost, but this is the best shot we got right here to church. So I want you to be a part, but I want you to know what you're signing up for so that you won't be like, "I was deceived." We're in an era of transparency. Everybody, do you really want me to be transparent? All right, we're in an era of transparency. How does the world handle conflict? How does the world handle conflict? Let's go to the next slide. It was working. How does the world handle? Take a few moments. I want you to talk about how the world handles conflict. So, you know, a few weeks ago, the mayor came to visit at the AUC. There's some initiatives going on here in the city, and the students were upset about it. I wasn't there, but I got all the details. And I didn't have one source. I talked to several classes. And I asked them what happened and how did they feel about it. Let's see what we got going on. Posting in social media war by ignoring it, mass killings, rioting, finger pointing, gossip, violence, social media rants, guns. Okay, yeah, well, at least we're self-aware as a church how the world handles conflict. And there's a reason I asked that question. So I asked my students how they felt about the treatment of the mayor. Well, I said, first of all, what happened? They said the mayor was there. He was trying to talk and he couldn't talk. And the students were shouting at him and screaming at him and calling him names. And they use a derogatory name. I'm going to say it out here that a black person would call just bad to the mayor of the city of Atlanta, who took out his time to come and talk to the students. And then they just shouted him down. It was just bad. Cursing him. I said, well, guys, how do you feel about it? I said, I teach at Morehouse. I said, you know, instead of going off on the guys, I said, this is a teachable moment. How are we going to conduct ourselves? What about when we don't agree? Is it proper to disrespect people if you don't like what they have to say? First of all, did he have an opportunity to explain? No, because we just wanted X, Y, and Z. So how do you feel when they cursed him? Oh, he ain't nobody. Okay, let's talk about where we live. This is Atlanta, Georgia. You know Atlanta, this is a world-class city. And this guy is the mayor. Not everybody can do that job. I know we're in an era of experts, but not everybody can do that job. Does he deserve respect? No, he don't deserve respect. Oh, really? Well, do you deserve respect? What about somebody you're trying to communicate to somebody and they cut you off and it curses? I say, first of all, we got to do better as people. Let's be honest with you. I'm not coming down on you guys because adults communicate like junior high school students. I mean, the president can't go through a State of the Union address, people shouting and calling him names. In our culture, we have become, I'm going to say what I want to say the way I want to say it, and I don't care who you are. But guess what? It's not just the president. Ask any principal what they're going through. Ask educators what they're going through. Ask medical officials what they're going through. Ask CEO. I have CEO friends. Ask them what they are going through. Since 2020, Americans have been on the warpath. And guess who's the enemy? Anybody that don't agree with us. Anybody that don't agree with us. And we want them to know, and we're going to go in. And I say, guys, listen, this is a teachable moment. Let's think about how we could have done better. And guess what? We had a great class. And at the end of the class, I said, thank you so much. Nobody yelled at me. Nobody screamed at me. Nobody cursed at me. Some of us, we don't agree eye to eye. But guess what? We made it through this session. I'm just on my communication. Because when we take our cues from the world does not communicate. It just yells and screams. And guess what? We come out of the world and we bring that into the church with us. We bring that into the church with us. And to be honest with you, I have many pastor friends. And let me tell you, preachers are tired too. Preachers are tired. It's like, it's a lot of work trying to lead people. It's a lot. And guess what? God gives us solutions. Okay? So we're going to look at two case studies. We're going to look at two case studies. I have some therapists in the audience. I have some highly educated people in the audience. I have doctoral candidates in the audience and degree. So I want to speak your language today. Today I'm going to put on the Dr. Patterson hat because I've studied this stuff out about leadership. That's what I got, organizational leadership, and that's what I got a degree in. But guess what? I got 30 years real-time working in the trenches leading people. I've been doing this all my adult life. Sometimes I look in the mirror and say, what was I thinking? Let's go. Okay, so we're gonna look at two cases, all right? We're gonna look at two cases of what was going on here with God's people. Let's go to the next slide. What was going on with God's people? So right here, you know, the church was just starting out. Church was just starting out. The apostles were preaching. 3,000 were baptized in one day. The church was growing. And don't we like that exciting, happening church? I mean, it just was moving and people were all having a blast. Well, when there's excitement and there's growth, there will be strife. Because you got people. Guess what? We're people. And guess what we do? What people do. That's just what we do. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." The proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen and some other men, and then they presented them, these men, to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. How did they resolve the church conflict? There was a problem. Whenever you get a group of people together, it's only a matter of time, there's going to be problems. So you got this group of widows, and you know, the Hellenistic Jews among them began to complain against the Hebraic Jews. And they were saying, somebody is being overlooked. Somebody's not getting their daily distribution of food. Was that a problem? Yes. Now, why did the Holy Spirit put that in there? Holy Spirit didn't have to share that with us. God doesn't want us to be surprised when you get a community of believers together that things you got to work through. And it's like, my mama ain't getting her meal. That's what it really boiled down to. Somebody's mama didn't get what they needed to get. And somebody else's mama was getting double portions. It's like, wait a minute here. They could have blew that first church up, because you don't mess with mamas. You just don't do that. So it got to the 12. 12 gathered the disciples together and said, listen, we got a job. There's something we need to do. There's something we got to focus on. But we can come up with a solution. So won't you choose some brothers, and we're going to make sure they take responsibility for making sure everybody gets what they need. And they came up with they prayed about it. They came up with the individuals. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them, say, brothers, go and serve. That's all he said. That's all. They were waiters. They simply were waiters. Go and serve. And what happened? In verse 7, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. What lessons do we learn from that? Because they were righteous in the way they handled it, God was pleased. God was pleased. Let's break this down. How did they handle that? How did they handle it? They had some solutions. The 12 addressed the issue. When things are going on in the church, it has to be addressed. And guess what? It wasn't just sin. It's not immorality. It was simple lack of consideration, and it was poor communication. So everything doesn't have to be a 5-alarm issue. Ah, there's not enough coffee out there. Ah. It's people. Somebody didn't do what they needed to do. So what do? You communicate about it. They took it to the 12. They didn't grab all the widows, the Jewish widows, and said, well, guess what? We're out of here. We're going to start our own widow group and get our own food, because we ain't thinking about those people over there. Or the Hebraic Jews said, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do, no, they said, listen, there's a problem. Let's talk to our leaders and come up with a solution. Now, the challenge is, do you trust your leaders? Do you trust your leaders? Listen, this thing, it's not going to work if we don't trust the leaders. It's just not going to work. That's just basic. Well, they're going to make mistakes. I have made so many mistakes. I have said things I shouldn't have said. I have done things. You know, I'm human. I try to take responsibility for them, but I try not to do this job by myself. We have a team, and we try to work together as a team. Let me tell you, I'll be gonna live honest. In the way our fellowship is wired, you don't become a multimillionaire doing this job. You don't become a millionaire. If you can buy a house and help your kids go to college, you're doing really good. It ain't for the money. I mean, I'm not complaining, but it's just not. You know, I talked to a good friend of mine. He said, ooh, I got a couple more years, Mikey. I'm going to retire. I got a couple more years, and I'm going to be getting X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, why you got to keep bringing this up? Because we were at college at the same time. We would have been on the same career track. Oh, I just turned 59. I've been doing this job 33 years, man. I would have put in my 25 to 30 years, headed to Florida. But most of my friends who do this job, they really care about people. I can't talk about other organizations, but the people I know, they care about people. And not only that, I'm grateful for our elders. I mean, I'm grateful for our elders. And yeah, let's encourage those guys. Men and women doing a great job. So first of all, just to let you know, decisions aren't made in a vacuum. There's a lot of discussion, a lot of discussion. Ed Jackson makes sure we have meetings and meetings and meetings. Ed loves to conversate. If you want something to make sure that we get it, talk to Dr. Jackson. Raise your hand, Dr. Jackson. Talk to Dr. Jackson, because he loves to conversate. Now, they brought it to the leadership, but the leadership gave spiritual direction. What we got to understand about communication, you just can't talk about the problems. You got to be willing to listen. Listen. The apostles say, okay, we hear you. We got a plan. Well, I don't like that plan. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You get some, choose seven. Why can't we choose eight? And it goes on and on and on. But this is all I ask. All I ask, bring the problem to us, but bring some recommendations. Say, hey, I see a problem, and I got some recommendations. I think that's fair communication. And then the second thing I ask, as you bring your recommendations, don't take it personally. Thank you. Say that again, Misty, for everybody. You said it.
Yeah. If you bring your
recommendations, it's all called communication. That's all it is. And guess what? The beauty of this situation is, let's pray about all this stuff. How often do we pray about the church? Do we pray more or complain more? And you know, we have to look at our individual lives to see how often we complain or we encourage when it comes to the church. And then lastly, God is glorified. The most important goal of the church is to bring glory to God. That's why the church exists, is to bring glory to God. All right. So that's church conflict. And I got one more. Hold on, Zach. I got one more. It's good to see you, Zach. All right. I like that. Zach ain't playing today. Church conflict. What about when it's people conflict? What about when personalities clash? Now, we don't know nothing about that. Church conflict, relational conflict. Case study number two. In Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through 41. In Acts chapter 15, 36 through 41, we read the sad story of a sharp disagreement between the Apostle Paul. Y'all know who the Apostle Paul was? He wrote most of the New Testament. The most devoted man wrote most of the New Testament, and his close companion, Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along on their next missionary journey. Paul disagreed. So let's look at this in Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. They had such a sharp disagreement, they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria, Sicilia, strengthening the churches. Next slide. Who was right? Based on your assessment, who was right? Who was right? Paul or Barnabas? Wow, okay. This is good. I got a church of people who read the Bible. This is encouraging. Super encouraging. Man, all right, that makes my day. Well, I can edit some of my sermon now. Okay. Good. I like this. First of all, when people have conflict, when two individuals have conflict, why as outsiders do we feel the need to weigh in? If two people are in conflict, why is it as a third party we feel the need to weigh in? Matthew 18 talks about how you deal with conflict. If somebody sins against you, what do? Go talk to that person. Now that's hard for us as Southerners because we're all nice. I couldn't dare say that to Sister So-and-so. That would hurt her feelings. But I'll tell my best friend everything about that. And first of all, you know, whenever we hear about people's conflicts, we've got to ask ourselves, do we have all the facts? Have we heard both sides of the stories before we jump to a conclusion? And then what is it we're hoping to see? What is the ending? Are we just in love with drama? Are we hoping for peaceful resolution? Are we willing to remain patient for God to make things clear? You know, when you look at Paul and Barnabas, you really had different personalities at play here. Paul was about the facts. He was direct, and he was looking at evidence. John Mark is not reliable. He deserted us. Well, Barnabas thought differently. He wanted to give John Mark another chance. So Barnabas was more thoughtful and supportive and, you know, a little bit more patient. Say, hey, you know what? Let's work with the brother. Paul, I'm not working with him. But I want to work with him. I'm not working with him. Well, guess what? I'm going this way, and you can go that way. A sharp disagreement. But guess what? They were still disciples of God. They still did what they needed to do. So who was correct? I agree with that assessment, both of them. At the point in time for what they could understand, what they were going through, that's all they had to work with. They just both had opinions. Sometimes in our relationships, we agree to disagree. Now, we got to learn to disagree without being disagreeable. But there are times it's okay. I don't see it. It's in matters of opinion. It's not a matter of opinion whether or not to steal. It's not a matter of opinion whether or not to be immoral. Oh, that's your opinion. No, that's what the Bible says. Wherever the Bible is clear. But when there's personality conflict, preferences, matter of opinion. Got one more slide for you? A couple more slides, and we're going to wrap this up. Go ahead. We already talked about that. So So, research. Research has been found, even amongst church people, that a lot of issues stem from different personalities. Do you all realize that we get baptized and we all get the same Holy Spirit, but our personalities don't change? We got different personalities. And what this researcher did, he put it in four quadrants. He said, there's the dominant personality, the compliant, the influential, and the steady. We all have different personalities. And guess what? In the past, we were grouped, somebody's dominant, they're prideful. No, they just got a strong personality. Where if somebody's steady, they're lukewarm. No, they're just steady. My question for you, next slide. What's your strongest personality trait? Okay, it's moving right along. We got a lot of steady people here. Influencers, okay. All right. Steady influencer. Okay, first of all, you're in church, so you got to be honest. There are a lot more dominant personalities than you admitted to. They're just a whole, God, I know some of y'all. I know what you do on your jobs. It's nothing wrong with, listen, God sent us to this earth with the personalities that we have. And let me break that down for you. All of us have a strength. And then we're a combination, especially the longer we're in the Lord. We mellow out, you know, we grow. I was in that dominant quadrant for a long time. Then I hit 45, I got tired. So I've been moving into other quadrants right now. But it's not bad. What's bad is when we stop growing. See, we can be a mixture of all these because we're going to be more like Jesus. But I don't want us to shy away from who God made us to be. So if I have a dominant personality and I'm in a small group with people, I got to know where I am. I got to be self-aware that chances are when I walk in the room and say, guys, we're going to go to blank and have a picnic over here by 8 o'clock, most people will be like, wow, he already made a decision. But that's just how I communicate. You know, and then you got that compliant person be like, okay, we're going to go to the picnic out there, all right, and it's raining, but we're going to go because I'm going to support you. But is this making sense at all? Why am I saying all this? Because the more we can get to know what we're dealing with, who we're dealing with, number one, ourselves. Then when Satan comes knocking on the door of the church, trying to divide and destroy the church, we're like, oh, he already preached about that. Or when you talk to your friends and family, church, man, them people are a bunch of hypocrites. But no, not my church. The preacher told us we got problems. He told us we got stuff we got to work through. But that's not a bad thing. I just don't want us to resort to being like the world. Yelling, screaming, cursing, wanting to fight, walking out the door, I'm never going to come. That's how the world resolves things. I don't have time to talk about cancel culture. I don't have time. But that's the world. And so much, especially my young adults, so much of your mentality is being shaped by the world. So all I'm saying is this teachable moment. When we come into the church, we just got to do things like Jesus. You know, Philippians 2 and 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The goal is to be like Jesus. You know, Go back and you look at that story with Paul and Barnabas, and they went their separate ways. Do you realize later in the story, Paul asked for John Mark? Paul says, send John Mark. Send him to me. He will. We see things as the Spirit of God matures us. There are things I felt strongly about as a young Christian. There are things I felt strongly about a decade ago. But now I'm like, do they love God? Are they trying to love each other? We're going to be all right. Let's give each other the benefit of the doubt. Let's try to remember Jesus considered others. As we take communion, communion is a reminder that we're trying to be like Jesus. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to God, and God raised him up. Let's pray as we take our communion. Father and God, we come before you right now, and God, we just are people. And God, we have our good days and we have our bad days, God. Even as a church, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're just struggling, dear God. But it's so encouraging to know that you still love us. In spite of all that we go through, God, you still love us. And I hope and pray, dear God, that we can reflect on that. In our dark times, our down times, dear God, how much that you love us. And I pray to God that not only we realize how much you love us, that we can start to love one another the way your son was so patient with his church. Thank you for the body that was broken, God. Thank you for the blood that was shed. And thank you, God, that we get to celebrate the life, death, burial, and resurrection of your son. We ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.